Hi there, this is Christine. After Act 4 of Friends Like These, we're going to have a discussion episode where the hero's cast reflects on our experiences with Friends Like These and Age of Rebellion. Send in your questions about the adventure, the characters, our experiences, or the show to heroes@theheidianway.com. Thank you, and now on to the show.
A galactic civil war spreads across the sun. From the heights of Coruscant to fiery Mustafar, to fight the evil empire, four people join the fray.
These are welcome to Heroes of the Heidian Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently our story is Friends Like These, and it can be found as a standalone module. This is Act 3, Episode 8, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
Dude, I'm like, you know, Amp. I'm like a droid, and I do enemy demoralization and stuff, and I'm a slicer and a sharpshooter. I'm totally a freer of slaves. I was like, you know, dude, doors open, and they like opened it. Actually, that was Nima, but I was sort of the behind the stage guy, sort of the stage hand.
You were the garage door opener.
Whoa, I've been demoralized.
You're the man behind the curtain. Don't let anybody tell you different. I don't even know what's going on. But I am Kith, and I am blowing things up, and I think I'm supposed to be sabotaging something in the near future. Hopefully I won't be levitated. We'll see.
And hey, I'm Chris. I play Mandalorian Commander Matu Ordo, and I guarantee 1,000% Kith will be levitated. Money back guarantee.
Move that button!
Hi there, I'm Christine. I play Nima Ptolemy, the Myrialan commander of the group, and current shiny glowing person at the front of a giant slave army.
And on every screen in the city.
And to start off every episode, I'm wanting to ask a question of one of our characters. And this time, it's going to be for Amp. Amp. With how long it took your compatriots to come around to freeing the slaves, which you seem to want to do right at the beginning of Lenya and Kolok, how has this changed your opinion of them?
Well, you know, for biological types, they've never been all that horrible. You know, they were kind of bad to me back before, you know, in the before time. But then they kind of, you know, came along and they sort of started thinking, hey, maybe I shouldn't be a jerk to every droid in the world, you know. That sort of thing. Well, most of them thought that. Some of them didn't, you know, Matu, cough. But still, you know, I gotta say that all in all, it's not terribly surprising to me that they would kind of go this route. You know, they took a little prod in here and a little prod in there, and, you know, you gotta be careful who you prod, because some of them, you know, have explosives and shields and stuff, but for all in all, I think it's like, you know, pretty good. You know, we're not all the way out yet. The slaves could still explode and have their heads pop off, and that'd be a bummer. But I think that, you know, if all kind of goes according to plan, they would pretty much rock.
And to give a quick little recap, I'm wanting to tap Matu.
Mission combat report. I led bravely a troop of Mandalorian commandos, just as I was born to do. Also, we had a boffin. And then we launched a full frontal assault by using carriages. And then Nima very loudly proclaimed we're part of the Rebel Alliance, using a device that lets her speak to extreme range, so even I heard it over on the other side of the city. Why would you say we're part of the Rebel Alliance? We are a stealth force strike team. I feel like we're violating quite a bit of our mission parameters here. Oh, well, I'm sure it'll all work out. All we gotta do is kill all of them. So, yeah, that's what happened.
We have the GM's favorite thing, a split party. We have Amp and Nima off in the slave quarter, freeing quite a huge number of slaves and turning them into a Erstaz army, or really just sort of a roiling mob. The slave resistance has just shown its face at the last moments in the previous episode, as they're trying to get the slave population to rise up against their oppressors. And there is Matu, the Mandalorians, and Kith at the base of the Ziggurat Palace, which is where we focus in on as the camera swings down, the hologram of Nima futzing out as a couple of the slavers with a heavy repeating blaster start to open up and try and lay down covering fire across the front promenade of the palace. Matu, Kith, how are you going to get up into this tower?
Did we take care of everybody that was left on the gate? Or we still gotta, like, mow through a couple?
We took one wave.
You don't really have to go through any.
Because there are 12, and we kind of handled them. I'm guessing there's just more.
Yeah, this is more people further up with a automatic weapon that is trying to just provide covering fire and defensive fire.
What range is this at?
They are currently at extreme range to you.
Do any of our mandos have...
It's random fire coming.
Long range weapons?
I mean, we do, but blaster rifles are long. So we'd have to move one range band regardless.
I'm not really looking for a more structured combat with this.
My only thing is that everything I can do is only things that I can do. Yeah. Or just any of that stuff.
You do have jetpacks.
Yeah, we do. I mean, why bring them if we weren't going to use them? So let's just do it. Time for some dumb piloting
rules. Well, I was actually
going
to say, do we want to do a distraction with one of them first?
No, we want to move fast. I feel like Matu is not going to... There's no time for tactics right now. Whatever element of surprise we had is now kind of firmly gone. All we can do at this point is to... They're on their heels. All we can do now is just push. So Matu turns around, just pulls the safety straps on Kif's jetpack real tight. All right, Jess, don't overthink it. Fly into the wind and just try to keep your feet below you.
We're doing this now?
Yes, we're going to do it now. We don't have a choice. We got it moving. We got to get to the top of that tower.
Okay, it's gonna be awesome. Are we going up and over? Are we diagonally or are we... Okay, just leave.
You're all going to stay with me. We're going to try to get as high as possible. The other Mandalorians have better control, so they'll be doing the zippiting and zappiting. You just stay close to me.
I really just want to get, let's call it one purple, one red from each of you.
A difficult terrain piloting check.
What?
Well, you're doing a pilot planetary check. That, yeah, technically moving one range band, planetary scale.
Yeah, I do so many of these. I know that rule inside and out.
It's like somebody
it's
has
a silhouette one thing, round it up.
Yeah, it's as if someone constantly wears a jetpack that constantly has to fly through things. Okay, so I've only got 3 green, purple, and a red.
And the entire reason why you guys have an extra purple is because for each of you, I flipped a dark side point. So now it's been reduced down to 3 dark side and 2 light side.
Boom. Failure. 3 advantages. I want my advantages to go to Leslie for boost as she attempts her flight.
Okay. I can... 3 advantage. I'll give 2 boosts.
All right. So he was very motivational and he took off dramatically no matter what happened after that. Which was apparently a failure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So she's inspired, but she's really not. So first go out with a jetpack. Her straps are on just too tight because Matu was very vigorous in making sure she was attached. And she got a fail and 5 advantage.
That's impressive for the two of you.
It's about what I expected.
I think we just need to... So I think what happens is she's flying around and Matu has spent all of his time making sure Kif isn't going to crash, that they're not going to be able to make this flight because he's like... There's no way she's going to make it in one boost like this. We're going to have to abort. And then maybe we can spend our advantages to not die when we land.
I have
5 advantages. I want to use them somehow awesomely.
Well, I'll give you this. If you want to use 3-4 of them, you could do a range light attack and see about dropping a grenade on people as you're flying over them.
Okay, so let's just, before we decide that, what is our net progress going to be?
Oh, you're getting up into the tower. You're just not getting in and landing on your feet.
Okay, so we're kind of succeeding.
This is one of those succeeding with a cost, as in, oh my, you deserve did the crash along the ceiling and then fall to the floor.
We probably bashed our jetpack pretty bad.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and I'm going with taking, like, physically taking, I'm going with 3 wounds.
Each?
Yeah, bypassing soak.
So as they're picking themselves up, and I assume there's a grenade going off in the background. We'll see the results of that in a moment. Monty goes, "All right, mandatory jetpack training every other day,
starting next week, because I need to be able to feel my legs just a little less."
It's at that particular point where the jetpacks crumble and tinkle off, falling onto the ground, where it's just the straps now that are on Matu and Kith.
And Kith goes, "Yeah."
Can I make a suggestion for the advantage? I know you had mentioned the grenade, but I'm thinking maybe since we kind of did the deflating balloon flight, that we were a distraction that allowed the Mandos to move in further and more fully garner the attention of the guards at hand. Like, okay, nobody flies that badly. It was probably just a decoy. Let's focus down.
All right.
They strapped some dummies to some jetpacks and fired them off.
Basically what I was going to suggest beforehand, but with us instead of the dummies.
All right. No, I totally like that. Now, the Mandalorians are fully engaging. Like, you have Mandalorian commandos out there. Some of them flying around on the jetpacks, all trying to take this defensive position. A couple of them going up a few layers on the Ziggurat and trying to take over one of the anti-air guns so that they can then turn it on some of the Zygarian ships that are starting to try and launch. And as that's happening, as Matu and Kith are sort of looking out the window down at, oh, so that's what's going on, I'm going to do one of those center oval out dissolves to, there's Nima standing there with a pale-skinned Twi'lek who somehow has acquired a proper Blaztec rifle with decent laborers-looking clothes, not like threadbare or anything. Like, this looks to be a fairly well-kept-after person. They're standing there, their headtails are wrapped in a crisscrossing leather design, laminate boots on their feet. The Twi'lek then looks to see Nima is there, and she's holding the rifle by its barrel, like just where the hand grip is, and sees Nima as more of the slaves are piling out. The Zygarians are starting to try and put up a bit of a resistance as then you hear an explosion going off nearby. The rifle drops to the ground and the Twi'lek runs up and tries to hug Nima, attempting to lift her off the ground.
So it's a tackle hug?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Okay, so fighting is going on all around. Blaster shots are going off. Explosions are ringing. You know, Nima's got her shield up. And did she see this this Twi'lek coming up? Or actually, what am I talking about? Nima has no perception whatsoever.
Let's just be realistic here. She's clueless.
Yeah, this catches her completely off guard. Her attention is completely focused on the battle. And all of a sudden, somebody runs up on her and like grabs her around the waist. And
now roll a cool check to make sure you don't punch her.
Yes.
As there is just that panic of like, oh, like what just grabbed me?
Yes, I will totally go with that. I will go with, this really feels like a 1-1 check. Okay, I'm going to actually toss this out to you because I know what Raimi's doing. I'm going to fish for what you guys think the mechanical effect should be. Is Raimi sees this, having pulled many files, and then the sort of Sacrian romantic music comes up over his PA system.
Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
I went to the Sleeping Beauty waltz, but you know that also is acceptable.
Perhaps a boost for musical cue.
Okay, I'll totally go with that.
So what's my difficulty?
This will be one red, one purple. With a boost for your cool.
All right, and I got two yellow and two green. Nope, not punching my fiance in the face today. Three successes and two advantages. So Nima hears the music, and she pauses for a moment, thinking to herself, that's an odd choice under the circumstances. And then, I'm assuming Mala, grabs her, you know, tackle hugs her, and Nima turns and sees her. And there's first just that moment of shock because she's been so focused on what she's doing. And then just that stern expression melts, seeing her there before her after all of this time, all of this heartache. The shield turns off and she just embraces her back, holding her tight like she's afraid she's just going to vanish again in an instant.
Nobody roll any disparage for the rest of the night.
Oh, no. And then, you know, we have the romantic, you know, music continuing to play. And then a rather hefty blaster shot lands too close for comfort, but doesn't hit them. And it's that moment of that, you know, that wake up call of like, oh, yeah, this is not the best place to have a romantic reunion. And Nima's going to flick her shield back on, putting it between Mala and the incoming blaster fire. I wasn't sure if you were still alive.
I knew you were out there. I knew you would try and find me. I never thought, here.
As the fighting, like, as the two of you are relatively still, there's blaster fire pinging off the shield. As one of the royal guard start moving in closer, since this looks to be the knot of people actually in the command area, she dives out from behind the shield, tucking and rolling over her rifle, coming up and shooting him in the gut, causing him to fall over.
I see you've picked up a few new skills.
Around here, you must pick up some skills if you are wanting to survive. And, well, I had to try and get back to you. We were almost ready, but then you showed up and were able to provide us the cover, the way forward.
It was destiny.
Oh, puke.
So, while this is going on, what is Amp doing?
I imagine he, having opened the gates and been all awesome and stuff, is probably looking for things to shoot.
Please don't shoot me in the head.
Trandoshans first. It's part of the list.
No, please don't shoot me in the head.
Something about shooting in the head. Got it.
Yeah, if you're wanting to shoot at some of the slavers, that totally is a thing. Okay. As the couple reunites on the battlefield, you hear the high-pitched squeal of an ion engine coming over the crowd, and there's one of these star hoppers that slows down and starts wheeling over the crowd, getting ready to shoot, or at least back up the slavers on the ground. Amp, as you can see, on top of one of the towers nearby, actual blaster emplacement that if you're wanting to try and scramble up to.
Yeah.
Or try and hack into.
Let's do that.
Are you wanting to hack in or try and get up there?
Let's try to get up there. That sounds like a good place to be.
Okay. So with that, it's got a ladder. I mean, you are stocky. Those guys have improbable limbs. I'm going to go with... How many people have actually looked at the legs on a T-Series tactical droid? They look weird.
Yeah.
I mean, you look weird. Leet looks more... Yeah, I do. Leet makes more sense. In that case, I'm going to go with... Actually, for the athletics check, I'm just going to go with two purple and a setback. Because, well, there's a lot of things going on and, like, blaster shots, apparently.
I've got a skill just for this moment.
Did you take daily physical training?
Yeah, they really do have bell bottoms. It scares me.
It's got a lot of leg.
Aha.
Yeah, and it's all straight until the bell bottoms.
Quick fix. once per session, make one skill roll using agility rather than the characteristic linked to that skill. I would like to make an athletics check with agility, because I am not servoing my way up there. I am swinging my way up there like a tactical droid monkey.
All right.
And you're still doing this in your tux. Like freaking James Bond.
Totally in my tux.
I forgot he so and Raimi are still dressed up.
Top hat and all.
Yep. Raimi in his top hat and monocle.
I wanted to have Raimi have a showdown with the puffer pig with the monocle and beret.
He leaps up. Sorry. He swings. Two successes and an advantage.
All right, so you're able to get up to the top of this, and you find a personnel scale heavy repeating blaster up here.
He pets it softly.
Oh my.
Love is in the air.
Yeah. Okay, so.
It's a good thing you and Sally have an open relationship.
This gun's coming with me.
Can you even lift it?
We'll work it out, dude.
Oh, we're close. All right. So, yeah, it's just within range. So I'm kind of wanting to get a range heavy check off of you. It is at long range, and I am going to be applying 2 setback to this because you're trying to shoot at, like, you're trying to disable this thing, which I'm essentially calling and called shot.
What does that do?
It'll actually take out the engines, but it adds setback. It's kind of like aiming.
Okay.
Actually, it is one form of aiming.
It's the mega aiming?
Kinda. It's like shooting a card out of someone's hand, that sort of thing.
Okay, so 3 purple, 2 black. He will do a true aim maneuver.
Well, I really feel that it should be 2 purple, 1 red.
Speaking of things that are black like your heart. Very well. Still gives me 2 boosts and 2.
And a disturbing number of amount upgrades. Of upgrades.
And I get an automatic advantage for my ocular implant. That we are skipping over how that actually works.
Carefully.
Well, it makes sense considering it's probably actually integrated into your ocular circuits, Mr. Bellbottoms.
It just makes you feel superior when you're wearing it because you're like, ha, organics need this and I don't. I'm wearing it for fun. That's why you get a boost. It's that smug satisfaction.
Smug. This is a smug bar stool.
I didn't realize how barrel chested he was.
Failure!
Yeah, I know.
Oh my
gosh. Wow.
All right. I'm going to natural marksman this. I might as well use all my once a session things on, like, you know, one thing.
And there isn't any other way that you can...
Oh, any other way I can get a boost? All right. We'll call it good. 3 success, 3 advantage.
Natural marksman has saved them this time. Just as a off thing. Okay, so this is an auto-fire weapon. I guess kind of didn't use auto-fire, but yeah. You're shooting against this thing. You've got 3 advantage. What are you wanting to do? And we can kind of go on the cinematic side. As you're taking essentially this 50 cal weapon and shooting at a Harrier to put it into more today's things.
Nima asked me not to shoot her in the head. So, she didn't specify other body parts, but sometimes she's unclear that way. Kind of silent on the subject of kneecaps.
I'm very glad I have a tower shield.
Is there a critical on this thing? Can I crit with 3 advantage? Thus taking out, like, more minions?
It has a crit rating of 2.
Let's do that and then pass the boost to whoever goes next because I am supplying suppressing fire.
Freaking the crap out of people.
Ooh,
is what
I like
doing.
That. With this, you are doing the rough equivalent. Like, you actually do have a punch through where the crit makes sense. And it's vicious 1, so that just makes it funnier. Alright, let's get you to roll a crit. I just want to see.
So, rolls 49. I probably got stuff that upgrades that.
Like lethal blows?
Like lethal blows, exactly. There's a rank of lethal blows, and looks like I have 1 link of lethal blows. So 59.
69 because of the vicious and the weapon.
Yeah, I was about to say.
If the vehicle is without a hyperdrive, the vehicle or the ship's navigation systems fail, leaving it flying or diving or driving blind, unable to tell where it is or where it is going. So, with this, what happens with this is, yeah, you shoot, and it's not exactly a... It doesn't take out the engines, but it takes out this guy's navigation controls. Like, it the guy's trying to control it, and it starts wobbling and starts rotating around. It actually looks a lot like a helicopter with the tail rotor gone out as it starts to spin and spin and spin. And the people inside are starting to look panicked every time you see them. And then a few seconds later, it goes careening down into one of the now open slave paddocks, and you see this huge mushroom cloud of explosion as it goes kaboom.
I really hope the slaves got out of there before that thing landed.
Amp would be worried about that if he heard you, but he's too busy cackling.
Don't worry, the maniacal droid up there is with me.
The romantic music has stopped, and there's Raimi tweedling mournfully at not being up in the air.
You'll get your chance to fly again soon, buddy.
As Nima says that to Raimi, sort of a whip pan across Nima on the one side, the dissolve following the direction of conversation, Raimi in the middle, and the tower with the cackling droid on the right. And there we have, in the top of this tower, Matu and Kith just sort of standing there, pulling back from the window that they had been looking out of.
Oh, come on, chop chop, find a thing, do a thing. Free the slaves, turn off the bombs.
Are we actually in the top of the ziggurat, or are we top of the tower that is next, that is part of the ziggurat?
Top of the tower that is part of the ziggurat.
Is this where we need to be, or is the top of the tower where we need to be in the throne room area?
This is the top of the prince's personal residence.
Okay, so we are where we need to be, basically.
Mm-hmm. Looking around, you can see a amazingly opulent bed. Molybdenum posts going up to almost a ceiling, netting around. You can see, like, complicated marble inlays on the floor, a swirling fountain, or could be a hot tub, you're not 100% certain, off against one wall, and a proper relaxation area with a circular couch and a Dajaric table in the middle.
Is it like a sunken conversation pit?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Like crushed red velvet.
I'm already stabbing his bed with my sword just for no reason other than to annoy him and cause a mess. I don't know. I didn't look. I just started swinging my sword.
Just stabbing things. He might be here. Bed. He might not be. Who
just
knows?
And as you're stabbing the bedding and pillows and stuff and, you know, feathers and whatever else are going flying, your comlink starts to go off, Matu.
Yeah, what's going on?
That's what I'm calling to ask you about. What's the status on that bomb transmitter?
I don't know. I bring a boffin to do these things, and she's just staring at me.
Actually, Kith is gathering parts of the broken jetpack and putting them in her pockets as she looks around the room.
I'm assuming you're trying to find the thing, of course.
No, I just was checking out the decor, seeing how I might want to, you know, use it in my
future.
The kind
of 70s James Bond
that I might have or I might not have.
Kith.
What?
Kith.
A little bit more towards Goldfinger.
Stop looking at the tank hole and start looking for the bomb transmitter.
Well, do you happen to know what a slave in the head bomb transmittery thing looks like?
Figure it out. We're taking fire here.
Kaboom. Through the comlink.
Kith turns off her comms and turns away from Matu. What does she see that looks productive?
I'll go with a 1-1-1 mechanics check.
What?
One purple, one red, one black.
Like, you're looking to see, like, what could have a hidden compartment. It's kind of a perception, but it's more what could physically have this stuff. It can be more of a mechanic-y type thing.
Okay. Success and a threat.
So, as you're looking around, you see this, what initially looks like a marble... Yeah, it actually looks like a marble map of the city, but something just doesn't quite seem right to it. And you notice in it that there's a... It looks like parts of it are lit up, and in the slave quarter, you've got an idea as to where everything is in the city, in the slave quarter, and where you've come from. There's the... Like, it's lit up. You can see a symbol on it that looks a lot like a small flying ship, and you can see the landing facilities for the slavers off in another section that you can see things going from orange to yellow to green, and then they start moving around.
Like little holo projecty things?
It looks a lot swankier than a holo projector. Like, it almost looks like this whole thing is done out of marble on the wall, but it's moving and changing.
So are we, we're in like a creepy Bond villain's bedroom with his plan map on the wall.
Well, his city
and
map,
his heart-shaped bed in the background.
Getting stabbed.
Being repeatedly. Stabbed. There happens to be a stuffed puffer pig toy sitting, staring mournfully at Matu.
I cut off its head.
No!
Well.
it's a toy.
It was so cute.
Is that stabbing a random puffer pig?
As I flip a dark side point, as the head of the puffer pig comes to the ground, there's a small little pink and purple long snout poking out from behind the Dejaric table and moving forward, sort of wraps its little floppy nose around the stuffed puffer pigs, like the plush puffer pigs.
I forgot that we did this.
That he is a breeder of prize-winning puffer pigs?
Yeah.
Pedigree
he is the prize purple puffer pig. I forgot about it.
And it just sort of mournfully looks up at Kith and then at Matu, not really understanding that there's a armed Mandalorian there that could slice it.
Oh.
As this grabs your attention, you notice that there's a set of switches on the Dejaric table with a Savrip sitting out of place. With everything set up just as if you would have a normal game of Dejaric, with the Savrip sitting slightly askew, like someone had not really used it. It got bumped once, but it looks like it hasn't moved. Like, you can even see, like, little rest spots for it. Almost looking like it had been cleaned around it, and this is the first time since a puffer pig bumped the table that this Savrip had moved. Kith looks up at the screen, looks down at the Dejaric table, looks up, and gets the idea that somehow this is connected.
Oh, look, Dejaric, I want to play. You want to play?
Focus! Kith, who had been standing in front of the map, you know, kind of holding her hands up, kind of pointing at things like, okay, I know what this is. I know where that is. I know what that is. This is almost helpful. She turns around, sees the poor beheaded stuffed puffer pig. Kind of makes a face at Matu like, what was the point of that? It wasn't hurting anyone. Sees the actual puffer pig being sad and hopes that it pees on Matu. And then spots the Dejaric table and is like, huh. So she does kind of a little pommel horse kind of leap. She levers herself over and hops down into the sunken conversation relaxation pit thing and examines the Dejaric table closely.
Underneath the Savrip's feet, or where it had been just moved from, you see a place where all the other pieces are easily movable. And this is a classic, ancient, handcrafted Dejaric table that actually has actual pieces instead of a hollow imager. And this Savrip looks a little out of place. Right in the middle of the Dejaric table, you see another place where it almost looks like the old action figures stand things, where it's got those two little prongs up, like the posing bases for them. So like you put it on those and something would happen. Or like for the action figures, they'd actually stand up instead of easily falling over. Because, well, top heavy. I mean, dolls, what are you going to do?
Action figures. God. She shrugs, picks it up, plops it down.
As that happens, underneath the marble-esque map of the city, the wall lowers down and out from in the wall comes a very long and very involved-looking piece of, well, like computer tables, a hollow transmitter. It looks like about two different workstations come out.
This is over the top. I mean, you could have just put this in a different room. Why do you have to hide it and put it in a secret code? Are these people really this bold?
He's a crazy royal prince that enslaves people, murders people, and generally is a horrible, horrible blight upon this galaxy, and raises puffer pigs for fun. I don't think he's normal.
Well, use that doohickey to find out where he is so I can stab him.
Seeing no problem with this request, Kith wanders over to the stations.
Okay, so the first station that you can get to, it looks like kind of a average workstation. Like, you've got the holo interface, or the holonet interface here. You've got, like, normal plimplast stuff over there. You've got a couple recent reports in between. You have a decorative caged set of buttons next to it, like with a thin, fine mesh over it, done in this gold,
gold mesh.
Yeah, kind of a cage for it, and each of the sides looks like it would match the outside of the Ziggurat throne level. And inside, since it's a mesh, you can actually see a recessed button, like as if you'd have to shove your thumb all the way in to press it, and a port for a data crystal.
Are there any kind of computer logical context clues that tell me if that is how you do bad things or how you do good things?
Very few good things ever look like that.
Okay, I kind of was leaning that direction, but are there any access panels on the base so I don't actually have to disrupt the cage?
No, not that you can see.
It would be a lot easier if he was actually here and you could just scare him into telling us what we're doing. So, I guess I'll roll a computer knowledge check and try and figure out what I'm doing in a way that won't horribly murder a lot of our new friends. A lot being all of our new friends, since, you know, they've all got bombs in their heads.
Like, you don't have natural mechanic?
I have natural tinkerer.
That's kind of what I was meaning, I think.
Well, yeah, but that's only one save, and, you know, we've seen, months and months ago, how using that one save can net you a despair instead of a triumph. So.
Well, that's a reason why you don't do that on a successful roll.
Brent.
It wasn't. Gosh. Okay.
Just go back to sleep, darling. TV snores.
Hashtag TV snores.
So she's gonna go ahead and start poking around.
Okay, so.
Tentatively.
But as you're tentatively poking around, this seems like the perfect opportunity for
you to flip a dark side.
And a prince and two royal guards show up.
There you go, and now you have somebody to scare.
Yeah, so you've got two Zygetian royal guards and Prince Molek showing up in through the turbo lift. Opens up, you can see through the outside, and it's like this crystal window thing. Way more opulent than it ever really should be for a turbo lift.
It's got plush stools and a little zen fountain.
In the turbo lift, exactly.
Yes.
And as the prince steps out and the two royal guards grab for their shock whips as they see Kith and Matu there. As Matu pulls his sword out from the bed.
Nope. I don't. What is our range?
I'm going to go with for you, I'm going with short range. For Kith, I'm going with medium.
I want to throw the puffer pig at them with the
force. That poor pig! But okay.
All right. This I gotta see.
All right. So it says here, range combat check with move. So I use, like, range light plus force dice. Yes? Okie dokie. So two yellow, one green, one purple. Two force dice. Ka-chow. Oh, yeah, three successes, one advantage, one force point. Do I have to, I don't know, is a puffer pig silhouette one?
No, a puffer pig is silhouette zero. All
right, I throw the pig at the guards.
Well, Oof. But you need to spend one for a range band, because it's...
For a range band?
It's right next to, or it was right in the sunken conversation area, which was also at medium. Like, it's not that far away from...
Oh, the pig is... Okay, that makes sense. Okay, yeah, okay. There you go. Whoomp.
All right, so I'm halving damage on account of as soon as it goes airborne, it puffs right up.
I love puffer pigs. They're the best thing ever.
Like, just... It's now... But because it has puffed right up, it hits all three. And let's see, that's 13 divided by 2, rounded up, that's 7 damage. which causes the Royal Guards to now become A, it actually would damage the two Royal Guards, the Puffer Pig, and that would most certainly try and bowl over Prince Molek. As, yeah, they essentially all three of them get shoved back into the turbo lift. And the Puffer Pigs now just sort of rolling, glaring at Matu.
I'm so keeping this pig if I can.
I don't think it's going to survive, but...
But she really wants a Puffer Pig. She's been talking about it on Twitter.
There's a whole bunch of them. We can get another one.
This one wears a beret.
I'm going to have to torture this prince, and if I have to make him bathe in its blood, I'm going to do it.
Okay, I'm pretending this conversation is meta and that Kith is not hearing you talk about people bathing in Puffer Pig blood, because that's just creepy.
No, not yet. Stand down, Prince.
Kith is ignoring you as much as possible anyway, let's be honest. She's trying to focus.
Your reign of slavery is over. Deactivate the bombs in their heads and I will let you live.
That almost sounds like you're attempting to try and coerce him.
Heck yeah. It worked last time, so we're going to do it again. I've got a yellow and a green, and I'm going to use Touch of Fate to give myself two blue.
All right, so that goes against his discipline. Okay, that's four red.
He's also hungover.
Yeah, four red. Here we go. One yellow, one green, two blue.
Because
four
he
red.
Is nobody's fool.
Oh my god!
Okay, let this be a lesson to everyone. That was one green, one yellow, two boosts, and against four red.
Just
and that's a
try
success.
It, people. Just try things.
So far, two out of two battles. Matu has talked his way out of it. Sword drawn, almost no blood. Because we got one success.
Yeah. All right. No, why? Why are you here? What are you doing to my bed? No. As he's rolling the Puffer Pig out of his way.
And then he sees the beheaded stuffed one.
I don't know what you know about Mandalorians, but if we don't drink enemy blood within 24 hours, we get a little anxious. So I would really suggest you go over there to my friend Kif and explain how to deactivate the bombs. You're rich, right? You've got lots and lots and lots to live for.
With that, I'm actually going to go with he is heading over and helping Kith, or actually showing Kith the bomb circuit on there. And he's just pointing to it, providing a thumb scan to get the cage off. Okay, I do want to get a Kith mechanics roll on this. Okay, he's helping, so I'm going to decrease the difficulty by one. There's absolutely no role in any book for this. So I am going to go with deactivating bombs that is in everyone's head role.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
I just want you to understand I've set this up about as best as I can. So if this fails, this is not my fault.
Yeah, so because I'm decreasing this once, I'm going to go with it is one red, two purple.
Just one red, two purple?
One red, two purple, and a setback. Because, well, you are working on a bunch of really weird equipment.
Setback. What are those?
Things I like giving out.
Yes, but you only gave me one, so it hardly even counts. Let's not blow up the slaves.
Yay!
No slaves have perished because of bombs in their heads. That is, may I announce, one triumph, two success, two advantage.
Okay. So, with that, you see the very classic... Well, actually, what you had been seeing on the marble display was probably 10,000 red lights that had been on there dim and go out. And it is at this point, I'm kind of wanting to get the last mass combat check for Koak. Because I'm wanting to see how the Zygerians are dealing with everyone assaulting them. So
hopefully poorly.
The prince is the prince is no longer in command. It is one of his seconds. So there, the difficulty of it is going to be two reds and one purple because they have been whittled down at this point.
What is the current size of our force?
Were you still at the, what was it, 4 green last time?
Technically, it was 1 yellow and 3 green. On the other hand, you have had reinforcements that are somewhat trained, so I'm going to give you another upgrade.
Okay. All right, then I would get 4 more upgrades for my leadership, which I can do the math here. So 1 green becomes a yellow, another green becomes a yellow. I get a green, and then that green becomes a yellow as well.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, you did fail last time, so I'm going to toss in a setback because of that.
And I'm going to go ahead and flip one of these light side points to give us an extra green.
Because why not?
Yep. Bringing our total to a green, 5 yellow, versus a purple, 2 red, and a black. That's better. 3 successes, 1 threat, and 1 triumph.
Okay. And as we sort of do a flyover of the city, the fighting is starting to die down. The organized slave revolt has started to take Stygarians. Some of them are being taken as prisoners. Most of them are just sort of getting rounded up into slave pens themselves just because it's quicker and easier. And you can see some of the slaves running over the spaceport, making sure few of the ships that are there that belong to the slavers are allowed to take off. So you've got freighters and small fighters, like the kind that Amp took out, on the ground, being swarmed by different groups of slaves. And that is pretty much it. You guys have freed a whole bunch of slaves on Koak, and also pretty much messed up the entire economy of Sklavos.
Yay!
Oh, darn.
Just say, okay, and now what do you want to do? Go to Disneyland?
I was just wondering what my triumph could have done.
No, we capture the prince.
Well, he's already there hanging out with us, so yeah.
Okay, well, actually, yeah, that's sort of 2 things. One, we've got the triumph from the mechanics check to deactivate the bombs that we never really covered. And then we've got a triumph from the mass combat check.
I mean, the one for the mass combat check should be that no word of this gets off the planet, because we don't need anyone tipped off that we've got this giant military force as ragtag as it is, or that any word the Zygerian slavers on Kowak got beat up, so you're gonna have more, you know, Zygerians coming by. We just keep the lid on it with that triumph, and then I still say we should nab the prince with the other one. I don't know why, other than I think it'd be funny that we have him back on Zorn. He just has to be.
Well, I'm
there.
Sure he's got plenty of bounties on him.
Give him a blaster. Put him on the front lines.
Jeez.
Well, I support nabbing the prince, but I'm not really sure that is worth a triumph.
I think you guys already have the prince.
Yeah, I'm kind of going with the coercion check that somehow magically worked.
I have a possible angle here. So you're in his tower. You're in his personal chambers, digging into his secrets. You've got him there. What if while you were digging around, figuring out how to disable this thing, you know, Prince Molik, he's a rich guy. He's got nice stuff. Maybe he's got...
You mean like ships?
Like a ship. Like maybe a nice kind of ship. Maybe something even you could give to a certain pirate captain so he doesn't take a different nice ship that you've already invested time and money into.
I wasn't even going that way. I was like, he's a slaver. He's got ships that can shoot things. We need ships that can shoot things.
That's originally where my mind was going with regards to the mass combat triumph. But if we're going off of the...
See, mass combat, I figured we'd get ships that could take the slaves that don't want to fight to safety.
Kind of keeping things hidden also accomplishes that in terms of then more time is bought. So in either case, that we're covering them.
My vote is that we've got the prince's personal escort ships, which are kind of fast attack craft that hover around his personal transport and protect him with quick movements and sharp shooting.
So more like souped up fighters.
Yes.
Cool.
And his personal craft, of course.
Okay, that I can do. Little on the much side for a single triumph.
Flip a light side point.
Do you want a light side point too?
Okay, sure.
Give us all those things and my puffer pig.
Okay, sure.
a puffer pig that hates Matu so much.
I love this plan.
I have kept the head of the stuffed puffer pig. It is in my back.
Yeah, he tells Kith how to do all this stuff, and she looks up at him and says, "Thanks. I hate to tell you this, but we've got to capture you. If it helps, he's less likely to stab you in the face. But you did kind of also have our commander's girlfriend in slavery, so she might stab you in the face. We'll see how it goes."
"What? How did you know that? They're all the way over there."
"You missed the whole, she's got a fiancé, a small child, told her about the resistance and the potential that Mala was on the table."
"Oh, is that?
Table?
So that's why she drinks so much."
"Oh my gosh, you did not know this? You know she tried to call you one night and she called me and I had to have her sit in my room just being drunk at me?"
"Well, that sounds like I dodged a bullet. Thanks, Giff."
"You leave that puffer pig alone. He's coming with us."
"Fine, fine. Oh, I'm going to take these Jajarg pieces. I bet Amp will love these."
And it's as you take the last one, the entire conversation area starts dropping down like a free-walled turbo lift. And that's how you find the prince's personal hangar.
Yeah, so it starts sinking and Kith just kind of runs over and shoves the prince in and follows.
Yeah, and as you get down there, you've got this, it's a little bit more of like a wolf style in how it looks. Because, well, Zygarian, and they're kind of like low-key wolfmen. It's a very sleek-looking ship. Does kind of look like it might have come from the huts, but you're not quite sure. Sleek. Very good paint job. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th Night with a K.
You can find the meat sack enabled person who plays words hard failing.
Meat sack enabled.
Forget it.
Like Bluetooth compatible.
Oh, girl. Enabled. Date or date cable. Not, there is no
for when
let's
Ant
just
wants
friends
interface.
Be.
I'm Leslie, before Chris cuts me off again, and I'm Kith, and Leslie GS is where you can find and harass me, because that's what I'm good for.
You can find my personal Twitter at Ing Daydreams. You can also find my other shows, Silhouette Zero, a podcast about tiny aliens flying their ship around. At Sil Zero Chris, that's for SilZeroPodcast.com. That's spelled SilZero.
Chris.
Zed. And we are all at TheHydeanWay.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way.
You can drop us a holocom at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or donate a coffee to us over at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway. That's only if we have bloopers.
Oh my gosh, you can't imagine we're going to have bloopers today.
And hey, I'm Chris. I play Mandalorian Commander Matu Ordo, and I guarantee 1000% Kif will be levitated. Money back guarantee.
Move that button. I hate you.
And here I was worried for a moment.
Move fat button?
It's kind of like Mushu Bothan, but eh, you know.
Are you just going to go through and call everybody fat now?
Everybody needs a stick.
Well, the Mandalorian was labeled bulky, so. And here he's the one that's pushing daily physical training. I know.
Now he's been doing more sit-ups than ever before.
Because he's
Hi there, I'm Christine. And
like,
no.
Sorry.
We broke Leslie.
He's gonna have an 8-pack.
Yes, he's broken.